once again, we've got an issue with these break-and-enters, largely the hands of children. But they're moving out into new areas, and it's how the locals respond to that challenge in their midst that's very interesting in this article in the Cairns Post by Peter Carruthers. Crime has more than doubled in one of Cairns' most renowned suburbs for safety, rattling residents so much they've issued a rallying call. They're now fighting back against a surge in break-ins and car thefts. Queensland Police data reveals crime rates in freshwater in the 2 years to November 21 amounted to 105 offences. However, in the past 12 months, 73 offences were recorded. So anyway, it goes on to say offence rates have skyrocketed from 32 in 2020 to 73 in the 12 months to November this year. Now, the big increase, primarily in property crime, has triggered letterbox drops, warning residents who are not on social media to lock up and be vigilant. You see, this is what good communities do. They become mobilised. Karen Lloyd Collins is part of a group of 12 volunteers who have distributed more than 850 flyers throughout Freshwater. Another run of 800 printed free of charge through Barron River member Craig Crawford's office will be distributed around Stratford and Eraglen this week. She said the group was taking a proactive stance against criminals who are now wise to freshwater homes being an easy target. I just put a call through to Craig Crawford about, well, the availability of getting those flyers done there, and this is critically important. That's a good way to get the word out, get those flyers into the letterboxes and make everyone aware of the threat in their midst. He's the member for Barron River and the member and the minister for everything, Craig Crawford, on the line. Hello, Craig.
G'day, John.
Tell me about this. You've made those facilities available to people in your area.
Yeah. Look, and we do that quite regularly for community groups and organisations, you know, that have got a good message that they're wanting to get out. You know, we've got lots of facilities at the office around being able to photocopy things and print things. So we do it for a number of community groups. So you know, it's a good message there. If you're doing something which is in the you know, obviously on the right side of stuff, then we're happy to help.
Well, I'm presuming the word getting out there means people are in a position to better defend themselves, whether they fit electronic alarms or whether they put cameras up or whatever, or just make sure that the key isn't accessible on the kitchen table when they go to bed at night so their car will still be there in the morning.
That's right. It's just taking those extra steps. You don't have to be Fort Knox, but, you know, life across the world is not like it was 20 or 30 years ago where you could safely leave things unlocked. Or hang keys just inside the front door on the little hook that says keys and all those sorts of things. So what recommendations are everywhere now, and it's not just in Cairns, it's everywhere, is that you secure your items and particularly your car keys. So don't just leave them in a bowl on the kitchen bench. You know, put them, you know, stash them somewhere where if anyone was in your house, they can't find them.
Isn't it interesting? Because we know the troubled suburbs, they haven't changed much in the last, I don't know, 30 or 40 years, I suppose, but suddenly freshwater's become a target. I mean, there's no real explanation, no way of understanding why, is there?
No, not really. I think, you know, thieves are opportunistic. So they will move around and they will try, you know, obviously crimes of opportunity. And if they strike a street or a suburb where things aren't quite locked up as well as somewhere else, well, that's where they're probably going to end up. You know, we get briefings regularly from police, from the senior sergeant in Cairns. And, you know, he's reporting to us in the last week. They've been doing a lot of work in that Red Lynch freshwater area. They've made a number of arrests of some troublesome people out there. It is coming down. They're happy that they have made a big dent. They're going to keep working that area for the next month. So certainly, you know, anyone who sees something suspicious sees something untoward is encouraged to contact the police straight away.
Now, Craig, you keep your finger on the pulse of developments with this COVID crisis that we're enduring. December 17, we're all wondering how it's going to play out, but there seems to be a pickup in vaccination rates up here. In fact, when it comes to the first dose, we're sort of neck and neck with the state figure. So that's encouraging. However, of course, we've got some areas that are just fundamentally not enthusiastic about having the vaccine. Now, you've been very much in touch with these developments with COVID. If indeed we still have a significant proportion of people who just don't want to have the vaccination, do you see that as a significant threat, or do you think we'll be able to, with the health preparations that we've seen at our hospital, et cetera, be able to cope with an increase in numbers for, well, a period after December 17?
Look, I think it'd be a bit of both. I think there will be pockets where there will be a real problem. You know, what we're seeing in the statistics interstate, New South Wales and Victoria particularly, is that this virus does hunt down people who are unvaccinated, and they are the people that are more likely to have to go to hospital and have to go into intensive care. Now, that will range now from local government area to local government area in suburb to suburb. So, you know, the best defence, no doubt, is to be double vaccinated. There's some big announcements that came out today. I'd encourage everyone to have a look at today's news feeds and tonight's news, because as of December 17, you actually won't even be able to go into a pub, a club, a restaurant, a cafe, an aged care or disability facility, a range of places. You won't even probably be able to get on a reef boat or any of those sorts of things unless you're double vaccinated in Queensland. So a big announcement today about what life's going to look like on December 17. So, you know, that all obviously is all about the push towards getting double vaccinated, but also rewarding, you know, that around about 80% nearly of Queenslanders who have done the right thing, who are either completely vaccinated or are partway there, to be able to release and give some of the freedoms back for everyone.
Now, we get a bit of an idea what's happening at 80. Can you paint a picture of what the 90% figure will deliver, if indeed we've got to wait to 90% to get the delivery of those benefits?
So 80% obviously delivers the benefits of being able to travel around the country. So, you know, being able to come in and out of other states and, you know, as long as you're double vaccinated, no problems. 90% is the international one that Queensland has set. And we want to be able to get to 90% before we open up our borders to internationals. If we continue on the current rate, we should get there. You know, Brisbane and those areas down there are doing really, really well. And, you know, the area of the issues we've got at the moment are the regions. There's a lot of complacency, I think, in the regions, particularly, some of the central coast sort of areas. But the big thing for Cairns is to remember that we are going to have those interstate tourists arriving on December the 17th, and they're going to come in droves. And that's a good thing, because we need it for our economy.
Yeah.
But they are going to bring that virus with us. Cairns is going to be ground zero.
Interesting what you say about not being able to get in pubs, clubs, cafes. You've got your proof of a double vaccination. I think that's to stimulate fundamentally, I feel like, lazy people who haven't got around to getting the jab. They don't have fundamentally any opposition to the science behind it. They just haven't got around to it. That's fine. But it still won't get those who don't accept the science over the line, will it? Fundamentally, there's still going to be a significant number of those people who say, oh, well, I've done my research. I don't believe the science involved, so I'm just going to dig my heels in. Is there any way of encouraging them over the line?
Well, look, they've obviously got to make a personal choice and to weigh up, you know, the benefits versus the non-benefits, I guess, of it. That might be depending on the industry you work, or if you're a young person and you like to go to rock concerts and pubs and clubs and that on a weekend, you're going to need to go and get it done. Primarily, a big target that we're after is the 16 to 39 year old age bracket across the state, and they're the super spreaders. That's the age bracket that moves around a lot. They like to go to the mosh pits at the concerts and, you know, and all the parties and that, and that's fine. But we're now saying you're going to have to be double vaccinated or you won't be able to go. The other thing that we're going to introduce is in November, by sort of middle-ish of November, I believe, the check-in app will be upgraded so that you'll be able to download your vaccination certificate to your check-in app. So if anyone's wondering about, well, how am I going to prove to a cafe owner that I'm double vaccinated, when you do your check-in app and the screen, you know, lights up, it'll be on there. So you'll be able to show that to a restaurateur and say, there you are, mate, on double vax. And for people that don't have smartphones, they'll be able to just, you know, print it out and carry it in their pocket or use that little card that you got when you got vaccinated. So those systems are going to be coming in the next couple of weeks.
There you go. Don't go away. Just one final point. It is November. We're going to see, I presume, the opening of the Smithfield Bypass later this month.
Correct. So it's going to be handed over over the weekend of the 28th of November. So there's a few things happening there. I believe on the 28th, Main Roads is opening it up so that everyone can sort of ride and run and walk and have a good sort of crawl over the whole thing. And then throughout the evening, probably over that Sunday, Monday of the 28th, 29th, they'll start to cut traffic over. I believe that's the plan.
Okay.
It's all running pretty good. So, yeah, so everyone should be driving on that road on or about the 29th-ish of November.
Okay, what date are you cracking that bottle of Passion Pop?
Passion Pop. I haven't had that for a few years. I'm more of a bourbon man now. But I'll be pretty excited to drive it. But I'll be like everyone, mate. I'll be watching. I'll be really interested in traffic flow just to see how it runs over that first week.
Yeah.
What behaviours are like, you know, and if we've got to sort of, you know, look at any sort of rectification or those sorts of things. But I'm pretty confident that the contractors have got it well in hand.
Mm.
They're expecting, you know, the synchronisation of the lights. They'll need to tweak and play with that for a few days just to get the balance right,
yep,
depending on how many cars go which direction and all that sort of stuff.
Good on you, Craig. Thank you.
No worries. Cheers, John.
Craig Crawford is the member for Barron River and Minister for 157 Things. Now, the time's on 29 past 11. Here's Cactus.